Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
You can wrap this one, my friend, in maroon and white. 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bingo!
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else.
It's Wednesday night, so you know what that means. It's Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for joining me here on a Wednesday evening. As always, I appreciate all of you out there tuning in. Rhino, I appreciate him more than most, because he is the one who guides our ship to a successful voyage every Wednesday night. He doesn't have to do that. He just loves it here with me. Now, isn't that right, Rhino?
Exactly.
Isn't that right, Mr. Scream? No? Okay. I wasn't sure if you knew you would get that reference or not, but that's fine. That's fine. Well, you can always talk to us on the C Spire text line, 601-879-4395. Happy to take your text and talk about whatever you want. It doesn't have to be Mississippi State sports. I'm here for all manner of life advice. I would go the opposite of whatever I direct you, but I will answer your questions. And, of course, we are brought to you by the good folks over at the Vicksburg Convention and Visitors Bureau. Visit Vicksburg.com. We'll be talking about some of the cool stuff going on in my hometown of Vicksburg, Mississippi, throughout the show. Not a lot of cool stuff going on in Mississippi State football right now, is there? Just not. And, you know, it's okay. It's going to be okay, I think, long term. I think I will say this, that I've been seeing, you know, we talked about it on the podcast just the other day about the idea that would Coleman Hutzler return to Mississippi State or not for another season. And I'll be honest with you, first and foremost, I'm against that idea. I don't think that's a good idea. But is there a possibility that it could happen? I think the possibility exists. But, I mean, there's possibilities for lots of things. I don't think that that's a probability. I'll put it that way. I think that at the end of the season, he'll be time to move on. The only way that could change, and I don't know if I'm right on this or not, is if State were to somehow have a win in the last two games, and then the other game kind of play decent defensively, maybe they try to spin that. I think it's too far gone at this point for Hutzler. I just feel like, for me, when you look at the numbers, you just can't justify that decision to bring him back. If you do, you kind of walk into that decision knowing that a large portion of the fan base is not going to accept that decision. They're going to be angry. They're going to be concerned. They're going to be wondering, do I really want to continue to financially support this product? I mean, it becomes almost bigger than just X's and O's at that point. It becomes a question of, do you feel like this program is doing everything it can to be a winner? That's what that decision, you know, whether Jeff Lebby wants to admit that or not, that's what that decision means. It has that kind of connotation to it. So, for me, it's an easy decision. Now, I can do that because I'm not in the building, right? I'm not friends with Coleman Hutzler. I don't have to tell a guy that he's fired. I don't have to tell him that he's got to go home and tell his wife, we got to move again. We just moved here 10 months ago, but now we got to go. I get why that's difficult. I get the difficulty in that. The difficulty is in the personal ramifications. The difficulty is in the man Jeff Lebby telling the man Coleman Hutzler, hey, it didn't work out and you've got to go. The professional side of it is an easy decision, because you just got to look at the numbers. And you got to look at the fact that State has not exactly been tearing it up in recruiting, which that's not overly surprising. They're 2-8 on the season. And it just feels like it's going to be difficult to convince difference makers on the defensive side of the ball to sign up to play for a defensive coordinator whose track record is he coached the worst defense in school history. Maybe in SEC history. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it's got to be up there. It was kind of a sad statement to me last week when on the podcast I was able to say with a straight face, yeah, State was better in this game defensively than they've been in previous weeks, and they gave up 33 points and 456 yards. That's a bitter pill to have to swallow when you say it like that. So that's just going to be Lebby's. Lebby is going to have to make a decision. Am I going to anchor myself to this man, and my tenure might be decided by how he does, or am I going to make a move and bring in a proven guy, a guy who's done it before? That's where the question. When you look at these last two games, the Egg Bowl. Let's look at the Egg Bowl this way, right? It's the Egg Bowl. It's two bitter rivals. Strange things sometimes happen. All right, sometimes happen. I don't think anything's going to happen in that game. It's out of the usual. I think Ole Miss will come in there, beat State handily, and we'll all go home. That's how I think that game will go. But is there a percentage chance between 1 and 100? Or between 0.1 and 100 that State could win? Yeah, sure. Why not? Ole Miss lost to Kentucky earlier this year. And I think Kentucky is better than Mississippi State, but they did lose that game. The Missouri game is interesting to me because I think that, especially if Brady Cook doesn't play, at home State has, they're not going to be favored. They're not even going to be probably under they're probably like a 14-point underdog. That's fine. But there's a better than something chance that State could find a way to win that game. The way they've been running the ball these past few weeks has been promising. I know it's towards the end of the season, and I know Devon Booth won't be back next year, but it's just good to see that the offense is starting to find its way a little bit. Van Buren, he was due a bad game, right? This guy's a freshman. He was playing one of the best defenses in the country, playing in one of the toughest road environments in the country. He was due a bad game. He had a bad game, shake it off, go on to the next. If he plays the way he's played previously, and State can run the ball the way they've been playing, and they can just play the way they played Saturday night in Knoxville defensively, which is not great, but if they just play like that, they will have a chance to beat Missouri. And, you know, at this point, and if you're a Mississippi State fan, 3-9 it's the same as 12-0 at this point. You absolutely take it. You would take 3-9. A couple of texts here on the C Spire text line. If Lebby doesn't fire the DC and doesn't make a bowl next year, he should be fired. I would tell you that it's tough because I know State needs the continuity. I know that they need to have a guy come in and be here for a few years. You're talking about Mullen, Moorhead, Leach, Arnett, Lebby, another guy. Six head coaches since 2017. That is brutal. Absolutely brutal. But at the same time, you know, yeah. In this day and age of the portal, where you can flip your roster so quickly, there's no excuse to have back-to-back miserable seasons like that. So I get where you're coming from. I'll tell you that. If nothing else, I want Hutzler fired so Haydeck can move back to ranting about logos again. I think this horse is dead enough. I think the logo horse is much deader. I've had to resuscitate that thing a couple of times. Had to break out the horse-size paddles. Clear! Keep that going. I could talk about LED lights. Do we want to have that discussion? I don't think we want to have that discussion. I really feel like State could find their way against Missouri. Missouri this weekend, I'm interested to see what happens. They are, up to like a 12 or 13-point underdog on the road to South Carolina. Crazy. They're 7-2, and they're that big of an underdog. South Carolina's playing good football right now. But if they just get handled by South Carolina and then they're out of the playoff discussion, which they're not really in the playoff discussion, despite what Eli Drinkwitz will tell you. But once they get a third loss, they know it's over. I don't know. It could. They could come with their heads down a little bit and State looking for that win. And it really is a situation for State where it's just it's almost impossible to overstate how big that win would be. And just to give Mississippi State fans a day in the sun, this has been a – it really has been since the death of Mike Leach. What has gone well for Mississippi State football? Nothing. There's not a lot you can point to. And State fans just need a day in the sun for football, and they haven't had one. And it's been a very tough road to hoe since Thanksgiving night 2022. You know, State wins that Egg Bowl in 2022, and you're like, they're bringing back a lot of guys next year. They could be a really good team. And then Leach passes away, and you hire Arnett, and he's just not ready, and he makes some bad personnel decisions as far as his staff goes, and it's just been downhill ever since. So a win over Missouri would at least give you a moment of solace, which State fans could definitely use right now. They're going to get more happiness when we talk about basketball. Let's do that when we come back. I've been at the hump for each of these three games. I'm going to tell you what I think of this team in the early going and what I think could happen the rest of the way. We'll spend the rest of the show on basketball plus a few other things. We'll do that when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Hey, this is
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi, Handsome Dan here. Thank you, Rhino. I appreciate you going that extra mile there. That's the Mr. Scream reference for me. It's Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Appreciate you guys tuning in on a Wednesday evening. I'm Brian Haydad. C-Spire text line, 601-879-4395. If you want to get in touch with the show. Hey, this weekend in Vicksburg, this Saturday, cruising on the river. If you're a classic car guy, classic car girl for that matter, head over to Blackburn Motor Company, 8 a.m. on Saturday, for the Jeep and Classic Car Show. All proceeds are going to go to local charities. If you need more information, you can call 888-553-2913. That's Cruising on the River at Blackburn Motor Company over on the Frontage Road in Vicksburg. Mississippi State's 3-0 in basketball. And I've been... What's between... They've met my expectations and impressed. That's where I am. I'm in that area there where they've been good. I don't know if they've been as good as they can be, which is good, right? They haven't reached their ceiling yet three games in. Fantastic. But at the same time, you see that they have some flaws that are going to be difficult to correct and could bite them when they play higher level of competition. So what is that flaw? The flaw is this, and it's kind of weird. You know, you think about Chris Jans these past couple years and physical, grinded-out basketball. This team just doesn't have that physical presence. You know, they just don't. You know, Cam Matthews is still there, but Cam is an undersized four. Then you've got Keyshawn Murphy, who, you know, really is more of a stretch four. Not even a traditional one. He's not a great three-point shooter by any stretch of the imagination. Now, they've been playing him some at the five. He's not a traditional five in any sense of the word. Michael Nwoko and Wesley and Jeremy Fumina trying to get those minutes at the five. And they have some moments here and there, some flashes here and there, but you're still trying to find your way there with that lineup. There were three games in, three different starting lineups. I asked Jans about that last night, and he said, you know, he doesn't feel an urgency to lock into five guys because he's got some good depth. And I get that. I absolutely get that. You know, but at the same time, the issue states have having rebounding, and it's not like they're getting blown up on the boards or anything like that, but they are, you know, they are not the same rebounding team they've been the past 2 years, where Tolu was just down there and you knew you could count on him for 9-10 rebounds a game. You don't have a guy like that right now. What you do have is a collection of offensive guys who can put the ball in the basket with more regularity. Now, Josh Hubbard is Josh Hubbard, and he's going to be that guy all the time. You know, you put him out on the floor, and you expect somewhere between 15 and 25 points every game out. And if he's at 15, it means that a couple other guys are probably around 15 to 20 points as well. If he's closer to 25, then maybe it's a game like last night where it's 25 points for him, 12 for Kanye Clary, and 10 for Keyshawn Murphy, and nobody else is in double figures. But one way or the other, Hubbard is there, and he's going to get the amount of points it feels like he needs to get each game, if that makes sense. Then between Clary, Claudell Harris, Keyshawn Murphy, Cam Matthews, R.J. Melendez, and Riley Kugel, you've got six other guys there that on any given night could be in that same 15 to 25 range. Cam would be 25 would be a high end for him. It means he got a lot of second chance points probably. Murphy's probably the same way there. Nwoko could be in double figures some nights, but it's going to be a lot of putbacks and things. I don't think that he's going to be getting, I don't think the offense is going to run through him enough to get him into double figures on a consistent basis. Kugel, Clary, Harris, the guards, Melendez to a lesser degree, can get their own points. I really liked what I saw from Kugel in game two. Last night, again, he took a little bit of a step back, so he's been up and down a little bit to start this season. But the physicality that he presents and the basketball IQ, when you watch him play, you're watching a guy who he knows how to play basketball. And I mean that in the best possible way, that he knows where to be on and off the ball. He's moving without the ball. He knows where to set screens. He's just a smart basketball player. Clary provides a guy that State hasn't had, and that's a guy who can really get to the rim off the dribble and break down defenses. Last night, 12 points, 8 of 9 from the free throw line. As somebody pointed out, I think it was during the sports talk, he was 8 of 8 and missed his last free throw. So, I mean, if he's going to be able to get that kind of output, that's great. Because eventually some shots are going to fall too, and then that 12 points becomes 15, 16, 17 points. Harris had the great game one. Hasn't been able to duplicate that. But he shoots without conscience. So, you know, he's willing to fire at all times. Melendez, I really like what I see from him on the defensive end. The effort is incredible. He's got length. He's a little bit better shooter than DJ Jeffries was, but he's got a long way to go in terms of being the kind of defender and rebounder that DJ Jeffries was. I really like what I'm seeing from this team. We're only three games in, though. We've got a long way to go. And I will say, in the first game and then last night's game, you had some lulls there where a good team might be able to take advantage of that and grab a lead and hold on to it. Against the quality of competition they're playing right now, not so much. But what I think the first game against West Georgia, they cut it to 5 at one point, and then State pushed it back out for halftime and then took control. They were in complete control of the game against Georgia State. Never a doubt in that one. And then last night, I think it was down to 8 at one point, or 8 at the half, and then State came out in the second half and was just dominant. Held them to 25% shooting, so much better defensive effort. The defensive intensity is still there. It's just different now. It's not force them into a bad shot and get the rebound. It's get a steal. You know, they're more active. They're quicker than they were a season ago. But at the same time, like I said, they just miss that physical presence that they had, you know, last year. And even when Tolu was out with Jimmy Bell, they just don't have a guy like that right now. I think when I look at Femina, he could be that guy. He definitely looks the part. Big, strong guy. Nwoko is a big guy. He's athletic. I don't necessarily think of him as a bruiser. I'm trying to think of an MSU player, like a body type to compare him to in recent years. Maybe a little bit more athletic, Gavin Ware, in terms of the body type, but Ware was a much better scorer down low than Nwoko is. Femina, maybe a more talented, better scoring version of Lincoln Smith. That kind of physicality, that kind of size that he has. But he also, I think his ceiling is higher in terms of being a scorer. But they need one of those guys to start going into that role. I think, like, when you look at what you want this lineup to look like in SEC play, I think you want to have Clary, Hubbard, Kugel, Cam at the 4, and then either Nwoko or Femina takes over at the 5. Or you could go big and go Clary, Hubbard, with Cam at the 3, although he's not a very traditional 3. He's not going to make a lot of 3-pointers. Murphy at the 4, and then Nwoko. That's a bigger lineup. That gives you a little bit more rebounding prowess there. Wouldn't be totally surprised to see if Jans could end up going that way. It just depends. And Cam, you know, you look at him, first game gets into foul trouble, doesn't contribute much. Second game comes off the bench and was a big factor for State in that game. Last night, again, as a starter, didn't do much offensively, but he had 13 boards. And I think if you're Chris Jantz, if I can get 13 rebounds out of Cam Matthews, I can live with him only scoring 5 points. I'll get the points somewhere else. I need the rebounds. State really could use Cam Matthews a little bit more as a rebounder. And when I talked to Jantz back during the when did I have that conversation with him? I guess it was a few weeks back during the first bye week, where he talked about Cam, and he was like, I need him to be more of a rebounder. I need him to be more of that physical presence. You know what you're getting from him from a defensive perspective. And I love when he brings up the ball, because those guards just can't handle him off the dribble. He's going to get to the rim with some regularity there. But they need him to be more of a rebounder this year. He's got to pick up some slack. So it's early. It's very early, and we're going to talk some more hoops in just a minute. I want to talk a little bit more about, you know, State schedule and what's coming up and some things. But, you know, 3 games in, I'm about as pleased as I could possibly be. I like what I'm seeing. I like the fact that they've had some different guys step up every night, which I thought would be the case. And Jantz is playing as many guys as he can right now. He's shuffling the lineup. He's playing a lot of guys, a lot of minutes. I think that becomes a little bit more streamlined as we get into SEC play. I mentioned the guys I think will be the starters, the Clary, Hubbard, Kugel, Matthews, Nwoko. We'll just say Nwoko at this time. And then Harris, Femina, Keyshawn off the bench. That's your 8-guy rotation. You'll see Delquan Warren get a few minutes here and there as the backup point guard. You'll see Femina get some minutes there as the backup center. But that's, you know, that's... State needs to streamline that just a little bit. Get into a little bit tighter rotation. But they got time to work that out. They got plenty of time to work that out. So let's stay on hoops when we come back. And State got a big game this weekend at an unusual site. State has got 3 of these neutral site games. But I say neutral with the air quotes, neutral. They're not really neutral site games. It's a smart scheduling by Chris Jantz. We're going to talk about why you would do that and why it makes sense and why I like it a lot. Plus a couple of more things from the basketball point of view. We will do that when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Hey guys.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
If they call a celebration penalty on this, I'll shoot them.
Back here on Thunder and Lightning, live here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydath, Rhino in Studio X. Thanks for joining us here on a Wednesday evening. This weekend in Vicksburg, I don't know, man. I don't know how I feel about this one. But the Junior Auxiliary doing pictures with Santa this Friday and Saturday. 12:45 p.m. on Friday, start up. 9 a.m. on Saturday at the Old Courthouse Museum on Cherry Street. For more information, call 601-636-0741. I mean, I'm all about kids getting their picture with Santa, but can we get past Thanksgiving? Why do we have no respect for the turkey? Thanksgiving is one of our nation's greatest holidays. I would tell you that other than the 4th of July, it is the greatest American holiday. Why do we rush into Christmas? Christmas is going to be there. Don't worry. Goodness. All right, so this Sunday, I will be in South Haven, Mississippi. To watch Mississippi State play basketball against the University of Utah. That is one of 3 neutral site games for Mississippi State this year. In fact, State will not be back at the hump. Let me see here, just double check. Until December the 4th. So they play 4 straight games away from the hump. 1 at a neutral site. 1 at the neutral site here in Mississippi, which is not really a neutral site, obviously. They have a true road game at SMU on the 22nd. And then they play a Thanksgiving tournament with a UNLV, and I think it's Northwestern and somebody else, like maybe Butler. I forget who the other team is. It's not on the schedule yet because it's one of those you play if you win kind of things. And then they play the ACC, the SEC-ACC Challenge against Pittsburgh on December 4th. State plays, as I mentioned, South Haven this weekend against Utah. On December the 14th, they're in Tupelo against McNeese State. And then on December 17th, they're in Jackson at the Mississippi Coliseum against Central Michigan. So what these games are neutral site games with a twist. Because they're not really neutral site games, are they? They're in Mississippi. There will be a lot of Mississippi State fans in South Haven this Sunday. There will be a lot of Mississippi State fans in Tupelo on the 14th. There will be a lot of Mississippi State fans on December 17th in Jackson. So you get a neutral site game in terms of your net, but you can turn it into a home game because it's being played in the state of Mississippi. That's just smart scheduling from Jantz. And that's something, one of the reasons State has been in the tournament these last few years, despite both years having a losing record in SEC play, is because they have scheduled well in the non-conference. And they've gotten these neutral site games, and they've gotten some neutral site wins that have kind of carried them. 2 years ago, Jantz's first year, they went and beat Marquette at a neutral site. That was a quad one win against a top 10 net team the whole season. They also played Utah in that tournament and beat them. That was, I think, a quad two game for most of the year. You know, last year you beat Arizona State in the Barstool Invitational. Last year they played a game in Jackson and a game in Tupelo. Those ended up being, I think, both quad two games. So Utah is a team that if you played them at the hump, you're probably looking at a quad two, maybe a quad three win. And I know a lot of you guys, when you hear about quads, your eyes cross. I get it. There's a lot of math involved being a college basketball fan these days. Let's just say it's a better win for State at the neutral site than it is at home. And that goes for all three of these games. They could play McNeese at home, but it's a much better look on their resume to play them and beat them at a neutral site. Now, you got to win the games. That's an obvious point here, but this is just smart scheduling by Jantz. When you look at the non-conference schedule for State, I mean, you have some real opportunities here. At SMU is a good one. You know, SMU, you guys might remember, fired their coach after winning 20 games. That set into motion John Calipari going to Arkansas. The coaching carousel ended up at that spot. You play another good preseason tournament, or not preseason, midseason tournament with this one out in Arizona. I think it's the Arizona or the Tucson Classic. The Pittsburgh game, that's going to be a good game. Pittsburgh has been a quality program. It's at home, so it's not as good in terms of net, but it'll be okay. It's not a bomb or anything. At Memphis has a great chance to be a quad one game for you if the Tigers are any good in basketball. And of course, that's another game. I know that it'll be a majority Memphis crowd, but State should have a nice group of fans there. You know, obviously, I think tickets will be probably a little harder to come by, but I won't be surprised to see. You know, it's playing FedEx Forum, so if you told me a couple thousand State fans made the trip, or you know, you don't even have to make a trip. How many people live in Memphis? So State's non-conference gives them a lot of opportunities that if they're just the same team they've been in conference play the last 2 years, they're still going to be a tournament team. And if they're any better, they have a chance to be a 5 or 6 seed and maybe possibly make that run into the second weekend. So, you know, Jantz is just, he's just smart about the way he handles his non-conference scheduling. It's just smart the way he does it. I'm a big fan of it. As I look at it. Another question I had about this basketball team, and we were just kind of talking about it, about you know the way that this team is built and the way the team is going to be constructed is, you know, last year, to start the season, it's kind of odd, right? Tolu Smith gets hurt prior to the season, right? But you knew going into the season he was the number one guy. So it's like, who's the number two guy? It quickly became Josh Hubbard. By season's end, I would tell you that Hubbard was the number one guy and Tolu was the number two guy. And then the number three guy just changed from game to game. So what I don't know about this team right now is who's the number two guy. Who is the guy that I can count on every night? Because, yes, I agree, State has a lot of options, and they can have 3, 4, 5 guys that have good games. I need another guy on this roster that I can just circle right now and say, he and Hubbard will get their points every night, and then it's who supports them that determines whether or not State's going to win. I feel like the most likely option is Riley Kugel, but he's been inconsistent at the start of the season. But I know from a talent standpoint, he's the most talented guy on the team, even more so than Hubbard. Hubbard going to be a great college basketball player. And as long as he is at Mississippi State, he's going to make a lot of money in NIL. But he is, I mean, when you watch him, he's not an NBA guy. He doesn't have the size, the physicality. He's a good shooting guard for college basketball. He is not an NBA guard at all because he's not a point guard. He's a shooting guard. Well, there's not a lot of 5'10 shooting guards in the NBA. Kugel is a guy who could play in the NBA. He has the body type for it. He has the talent for it. He's just got to find the consistency night in and night out. But if you come to me at the end of the season and tell me that Kugel averaged 14 points per game, go with Hubbard averaging, let's say, 18 points per game, you're in good spot right there. Clary is a guy who could, and he's going to have the opportunities because he is definitely the starting point guard on this team. I think he likes to play facilitator a little bit, and I get that. And when that's, hey, he's a point guard, so you want him dishing the ball. And I mentioned earlier, you know, how easily he was able to get to the free throw line last night. He just needs a few more shots to drop, and he's going to be right there. He's going to be at, you know, 12, 13, 14 points per game. That would be great for Mississippi State. I don't know that Harris is going to be consistent enough. You know, coming off the bench, if he can just be an 8 or 9 point per game guy, that's going to be just fine for State. They would love for one of the post guys to develop into that, but that just seems unlikely. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think we're going to look up in a few weeks and Nwoko or even Keyshawn are going to be a 12, 13 point per game guy. It'd be great if you could have that. If you could have that inside outside threat, but it seems like the backcourt. State's strength this year is in the backcourt. That's where the Bulldogs are going to be better than they were in the first 2 years of Chris Jans. They're not as good in the front court, so it's a trade-off. I like Kugel a lot. I when you watch him play, he just plays at the right tempo, if that makes sense. He's not rushed out there on the court. He sees the game. He had a pass last night that just the defender makes a nice play on at the last possible second, but it should have been a Sports Center top 10 kind of assist. He has the basketball IQ. He has that ability that State's kind of lacked there the past few years at that position. I love DJ Jeffries, don't get me wrong. Guy played as hard as anybody. Great defender. But Kugel is a more naturally talented basketball player at the three. He's a different kind of player, but his ceiling is definitely higher there for Mississippi State. So who is number two? Who does number two work for? That's what State needs to find out here in the coming weeks. They need somebody to step up and become a more consistent threat to pair along with Hubbard. Hubbard, I have no doubt every night, the team that shuts down Josh Hubbard is the team that will beat State by 30 points. I expect Hubbard to be around 20 points per game. That's my baseline expectation of him. If he has an hour where he's at 12 points, I'm going to be looking around going, what happened? You know, just didn't feel it tonight? What's going on? It's going to be the other guys around him that step up and support him. That's going to be the difference for State. Like I said, the good news is you got a lot of options there, more than you've had the past two seasons. You know, Jans did a really great job in the portal. You know, the only thing he missed out on was getting that you know, not star, but that quality, competent big man that you could just pencil in for 12, 13 points, 8, 9 rebounds a game. They don't have that guy. They got basically everything else. This should be a good team from start to finish. You know, I'm not gonna. I overestimated them last year and said they could compete for the conference championship. I'm not gonna go that far this year. But a tournament team, absolutely, absolutely. And can they be a higher seeded tournament team than they were a season ago? They absolutely can do that. They just got to find one more guy that they can count on night in and night out. All right, we'll wrap it up when we come back. It's Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Catfish, hush.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Back back for one last run here on Thunder and Lightning here on a Wednesday evening. I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks, as always, for tuning in, guys. I always appreciate everybody who's listening and who interacts with us on the C-Spire text line. I appreciate Rhino. Rhino's got the blinker on. We're about to turn into the parking spot here, and we'll call it a night very, very soon. If you haven't already, please subscribe to the Thunder and Lightning podcast. A lot of great stuff going on there this week. Tomorrow, I've got an interview with ESPN soccer analyst Marion Crowder, who is actually a Mississippi native, Madison Central High School. Stand up. Talk to her about State's upcoming NCAA tournament run that's going to be happening. The Starkville Regional starts up this Saturday. For State, a number one seed in the regional. So that's a fun conversation. Really, if you like soccer especially, and I know a lot of you don't, but if you do, it's a very good in-depth conversation. Friday's Thunder and Lightning is going to have two great interviews that I did this week, one with Mississippi State softball coach Samantha Ricketts, and then one with Mississippi State baseball coach Chris Lemonis, as we'll do our second bye-week blitz with the football team off. We'll talk to those guys about the upcoming seasons in the spring and what's going to be happening there. Go ahead and give you a little bit of a spoiler. Lemonis, he likes his team. He really likes his team. He was not shy about telling me he thought this could be a really good baseball team here in Starkville. So if you're interested in that, and I hope that you are, you'll check that out on Friday show, and it'll be on the Thunder and Lightning podcast feed as well. Can I get any news on Mississippi State baseball, how the fall scrimmages are going? They've wrapped up at this point, and you know, I didn't attend any of the scrimmages, so I can't give you a whole lot. I know Robbie did, Robbie Falk, my podcast partner, so maybe check out some of his writing from the On3 website. He can give you a better idea of what happened. I know one name that I kept hearing whenever I would read a recap or talk to anybody is Ace Reese, the transfer from Houston. I think he'll end up being State's starting third baseman this year, but he has a lot of pop in his bat, and I think he and Hunter Hines are going to be a good combo for State this year. That's probably your 3-4 hitters, if I had to guess. And then, you know, got to get the middle infield squared away because, you know, you lose Mershon and you lose Imani Larry. I think Dylan Cup will play a big role there. I'm not sure who the second baseman is going to be right this second. But, you know, having Ross Highfield back, I think, is a big deal for Mississippi State as well. You know, he was penciled in as your starting catcher in last year, suffers a Tommy John injury, which is not something you hear a lot of with a catcher, but him being back obviously improves you a little bit defensively, but his bat is going to be big too. I mean, he was off to a really good start his freshman year, hit a little bit of that freshman wall, but the potential for him is very high. You can see it when you watch him play, and I think he'll take he'll be a big part of what State does this year. State's got some big bats in the lineup. We'll just have to see how they do in SEC play. I'm interested to watch that team. You know, Valentine's Day opening day. So tell your ladies, sorry, I'm going to the ballpark. We got Mississippi State baseball to start the year off, so that should be a lot of fun. Speaking of baseball, let's give a quick congrats to a friend of the program, Brent Rooker. Oakland A's had a fantastic year with the A's this year. Named to the Silver Slugger team this couple days ago. Look at his season from this year, though. .293 batting average. What do you have? 39 homers, 112 RBI. Just a fantastic year for him. Really starting to get at home there, and I'd say in Oakland. I guess it's in Las Vegas or in Sacramento, wherever the A's are going to be now. Somebody needs to get him out of that franchise and get him for a team that has a chance to win some games. You know, if you'd just like to make a quick trip across the bay, Brent, I would be all in favor of that. We could use a slugger of his power there, but really cool to see Brent getting those kind of honors. That's a guy that, you know, I was very confident in coming out of college that he would be a top-notch pro baseball player, and it's starting to come together for him, and he had his best season as a pro this past year, so congrats to him. A lot going on for a weekend where there's not football. There's a lot going on. I mentioned Mississippi State soccer, 5 o'clock kickoff on Saturday against Southern. That's Southern University, not Southern Mississippi. To start off the Starkville Regional. Basketball on campus for the women on Saturday, or on Sunday, whereas the men will be in South Haven. So Robbie's covering the women's game. I'll be covering the men's game, so we'll have a good angle for both of those games there. And then next week, back to football. You know, basketball starting to heat up a little bit. We're just getting into that time of year where there's a lot going on. You know, in football, just I'm so interested to see when we get to the Egg Bowl, once that game is over, and you know that's when the 2025 season begins for Mississippi State. You know, in the days that follow that, do you keep this staff or do you make some changes? What does your portal look like? You'll have signing day. What is your freshman class going to look like? By the time we get to New Year's Eve, we're going to have a really good idea, I think, of what Mississippi State football is going to be in 2025. I hope the answers are good for Jeff Lebby's sake and for Mississippi State fans' sakes, because I know what we're all going through the same things here, guys. No one's standing alone on this one. So we'll get through it together as we always have. And if not, well, there's always beer. You can always do that. Rhino, thank you as always, my friend. Appreciate you getting us through another show. Appreciate all you guys tuning in on a Wednesday evening. Talk to you again tomorrow on Sports Talk Mississippi, where we'll be live from Scruggs in Saltillo. It's been Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
A Super Talk Mississippi media production.